We praise you this morning for your love and for your kindness. Father, we thank you this morning that we know that your word is anointed. And I pray that your word will accomplish that which you sent it to do. And Father, as I minister your word, I pray that you'll hide me behind the cross. And it be through your strength and through your power, your Holy Spirit. I pray that your word will touch our hearts. That people know that this is a time that we need you, Lord. And I pray for the people that in this time, Lord, that need your touch. We think of Pastor Keith. We think of Larry. We think of Conrad with his back, Lord. There are so many of us that need you to touch us, that need you to heal us, Lord. And I pray that in Jesus' name that you will touch and move by your Spirit, that you will heal and set us free, Lord, in this time. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. I pray this morning that you bear with me. It's crazy. I'm as nervous as anything. It's sad that I lecture with people, but it's a different environment because we minister the Word of God. And Pastor Keith asked me to help out because I was supposed to minister tonight. It's a short message. But I believe that God will tell you what he wants to tell you. In 20 minutes or 10 minutes or 5 hours, God knows what he wants to do. And we give him honor for that. I'd like to speak to you about something that's strange this morning, a crazy title, The Best Exercise. People think, what exercise? Our scripture reading comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 5, verses 21 through to 24. Genesis chapter 5, verse 21 through 24. It says, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God. After he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat his sons and daughters. And all the days Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. The whole text that I'm talking to you about this morning is Enoch walked with God. And he was not, for God took him. Diet and exercise are important to a lot of people today. A lot of people think about their figures, and they think about, I've got a diet, and everybody wants to exercise. They ride bicycles, and they go to the gyms, and they spend their time they're doing exactly what they think the right things are. If you walk into the shop today, I mean, when you go to the mall, and you're going to in Pick and Pay, or any shop you want to go into, and you see the magazines. What do they display? The new diet. The best way to do exercise. The best way to tone up your body. And a good number of them are there. I mean, you can open up any magazine and they've got that written down there. They've got this new future thing. When I'm on Facebook, and I see they've got this granny with a little bottle with lemons juice inside, and she says, I've got this new thing. She says, let me see what the new thing is. And you go, and they've got all those tablets and stuff that cost you 500, 600, 700 rand to buy the stuff. And this is the new trend that they've got. And you find articles on diets and exercise. But these articles that they sell the magazines. People are always there to find out what the new thing is. So they always try to find out what it's all about. Because people want to know the new thing that they've got. And the fastest way to lose weight, you know, in 2 weeks you lose 40 kilograms. And all these people are excited about that. And they go and they buy the things and they get that. In 2 weeks later, they're just the same. They haven't lost the weight at all. I know, I've tried them. I've tried a lot of things that I had to buy and I hide them away that Lorraine doesn't see them. And I take them in the mornings, I take them in the evenings. And then I find that I'm still as fat and ugly as I am. But I want to tell you about a man in the early Bible times who found the best exercise. And his best exercise was walking with God. Because Genesis 5:25 says, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. We find the word translated as walk is in a Hebrew expression that means to live according to God's lifestyle. God knows exactly the way that we have to go. God knows exactly what He has planned for you and for me every day of our life. He knows the way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's the way that we have to follow. Let us examine some of the characteristics of walking with God. Let us see what God wants us to know. Walking with God means going into God's direction. Hebraism, working with God, is used to describe God's lifestyle. For Enoch to walk with God, it meant to go the same direction as God goes. Now, my problem I have is going shopping with Lorraine. When Lorraine says, maybe you're going to walk with me, and said, I think I'd rather stay in the car. But I'll walk with you. When Lorraine goes, I'm walking with Lorraine. So it doesn't help me to walk this side of the road and Lorraine walks that side of the road. I've got to walk next to her if I want to walk with her. And when we're in the mall and Lorraine goes to this aisle, I've got a trolley behind her, and I walk and I follow her. And then she goes this way, and I go this way, I follow her again. And you find sometimes you're going back to the same aisle, the same place, because Lorraine forgot something. And this is the whole thing of walking with somebody. I mean, you can't want to walk with somebody and they walk in the wrong direction. If I say to Murnay, walk with me, and we walk down, and I expect him to walk down the aisle with me, and he walks that way, he's not walking with me. And this is the main thing of walking with God, is to follow the way that God wants you and me to walk. But the most important thing for us to understand is God's path and God's way is clearly marked for us. Enoch responded with God's relationship. Wherever God went, whatever God told him, whatever God disclosed to Job, he accepted and he was on his way. He accepted what God told him, and God revealed himself to Enoch. Enoch was willing to go where God wanted him to go. Today, one doesn't have to guess which way God is going, because we've got the Holy Spirit that leads us. We've got the Holy Spirit that shows us exactly what to do and how to do it if we submit to the move of the Holy Spirit. God's supreme revelation is given as Jesus Christ. If we look at the Gospels and we look at the Bible, we've got the instruction manual of how to live, what to follow, how to do things if we want to be like Christ, if we want to follow the way that the Lord wants us to go. John 2 verse 6 says, and he who abides in him ought himself to walk in the same as he walked. If we want to abide in Christ, if we want to walk with Christ, we've got to walk the same way as he walked. And people say, oh, that's nice. Yeah, but look at the life of Christ. He was rejected. He was hurt. He was despised. People mocked him. He went through difficult times. So our walk with God is not going to be a walk of a highway that we're going to have everything free and everything exciting. We're going to have our difficult times. We're going to have our trials. We're going to have our temptations. We're going to know that things are happening in our lives. So God's way is also the best way. There is no other way for us to follow. If we go to Genesis chapter 5, I don't want to read the whole chapter 5. It is to be convinced that Enoch found the best type of life. He found the best way to go. He found the best way to follow what God wanted him to do. If you look what Enoch said, he walked. He was not. God took him. But all the other guys in the book, the chapter 5 of Genesis, they walked a life that meaningful. But the only problem that their lives, they had a meaningful life. They accomplished what they wanted to do. But their lives were uneventful. There was nothing exciting about their lives. But when we walk with God, we find excitement, because God changes our moods and our situations around so much that we will be excited every day to walk with God. Walking with God is not the easiest way to travel. It's not the most comfortable. Because we have to walk in the direction that others are not walking. So many times it's easy to walk with the crowd, to walk with the people, to walk with the church. But God says, no, I don't want you to walk that direction. I want you to walk the other way. And you find yourself turning around, you're walking against the stream of people. against what people are telling you to do, what people want you to do. But God knows exactly the way that we have to go. He knows the path that is there for us. He knows when I'm committed to Him, my life is committed to God, I know this is the way that God wants me to go. I'm guilty. I'm guilty because I know I've missed God so much. I've missed the path that God wanted me to follow because of my own ideas and my own ways. It's easy to walk with the crowd. It's easy to because you're comfortable, you feel protected, you feel, you know, my friends are here with me. But when you have to walk the way God walks, it's difficult. But it's rewarding. That is the most important thing for us to understand. Walking with God means to proceed God's pace. For Enoch walked with God, meant you had to proceed at the pace that God has set before him. God knows exactly how fast, how slow. God knows exactly the way it's got to be happening and how it's got to be done. If you're going to walk with anyone, you must walk at the same speed that they walk. You know, us as parents, when we are little children, and you walk wherever you walk, they always lag behind. And they almost sometimes they almost run next to you to be able to keep with the pace that we walk. And this is the way that God is telling us to do. I look at the idea that came to me is when I look at how does God move? How fast does God go? I thought of an athletic race, a long distance. Everybody's ready to go. Mark, set, and the shot goes off. And everybody's on the track running. What do you do? Do you run your own pace slowly? No. The guy that's in front is the leader. You've got to set your pace according to his pace. You've got to make an adjustment to be there. If you want to win the race, you've got to set the pace. And if he increases his pace, his speed, you've got to increase yours because you've got to be there with him all the time. And as he continues, and this is the way that God says you've got to do, when God will move forward, you'll move faster times. God's speed is deliberate and is determined. God knows exactly when you've got to move fast or you want to move slow. Or you've just got to keep a general speed on them when you do things for God. Because God wants to lead us. We have to follow God. We have to follow the instructions and the word of God. Because God is going to be the leader and you're not the leader. You've got to set your pace according to the speed and the movement that God is doing. The way he's going, the way he's leading us to where he wants us to be. God's word is deliberate. We have to know exactly that running the race, we've got to keep our eyes on God. It doesn't help when you run the race and this guy is ahead of you and you look at the other guys. And how many times do we find that? There's so many things happening on the side, so many things happening. And in our walk with God, we get sidetracked because we see things here and we see things there and we see lights and we see that and we see that and we don't keep our eyes upon the leader and we don't keep our eyes upon God. And we sometimes find that we lose track, we lose the effect that God wants us to have in our lives. If you want to live according to God's lifestyle, God's one commitment. He wants us to be committed to Him, to do what He wants us to do. We will have to move in a direction that will allow Him to create a godly character within us. There's sometimes growth. When we move with God, there's got to be growth. It doesn't mean I'm walking with God for 40 years and I'm still the same as I was 40 years ago. Every day, God changes situations. Every day God works in my life. Every day God affects your life and my life with what He wants to do. That we grow stronger every day. We become more effective for God's kingdom. We become more effective for the work that God wants you and me to do. God's pace varies at different occasions. You see, Enoch didn't find his walking with God just a normal continuous pace. Every day it's the same pace. He didn't see that with God. God didn't just walk. You see, Christian life like that is uninteresting. It becomes a drag, if they can call it like that. It becomes horrible. It becomes boring. If God just walks in the same pace, yes, Lord, I'm following you today. And the pace is the same. But what happens is some days God walks fast and you've got to walk to keep up with God. He walks fast and he puts the pace and you've got to walk and you've got to live. God puts the power and the anointing upon your life and the strength that you have to do it. And then suddenly one day you think, God, you move fast today. And God moves slow. Because he knows how your Christian life and experience are being affected. And he slows down. And then one day you come up and God stands still. And God doesn't move. And so many times we get frightened, we get fearful when we see that God is not moving today. Oh, God, I've missed you. I don't know what's happened. But meet them, what is God saying? It's time that we have to wait and be still. Psalm 46, verse 10, the A section says, be still and know that I am God. We have to be still and know that there are times where God is going to move with power. There's going to move it normally. And there's going to be times that God is going to be quiet and tell you what he wants you to trust him. Isaiah 40, verse 31 says, but those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles, like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What are the most important parts of word in this whole thing? It's not mount, walk and not being weary. It's not mount up with wings of eagles. It's the word wait. It's the most difficult word that we find sometimes, is to wait on God. Because we want to move with God. We want to do things with God. We want the anointing of power. We always want to go for God, change and fight and conquer. But there's a time that God says, wait. I want you to rest. I want you to be at peace. I want you to know that I am your God. That I can change things around. And I can affect your life. Walking with God, then again, God needs you to proceed with his pace. You are not attempt to walk ahead of God. So many times we Lord, yes, we're going to move for God and we're ahead of God and we run around and and God says, hey, you're not running my pace. We run ahead of God. We want to do things for God. And then we're doing it outside of God's will and outside of God's purpose. We miss out with God completely. Or sometimes we're so involved with our environment, involved with our situations, involved with our circumstances that we lag behind. God says, come on, pick up your pace. We've got to move forward. We've got to do things. And you say, yes, Lord, I'm coming. And we're still involved with our situations and our circumstances. Still involved with our problems. But sometimes we have to wait patiently for God to lead and know exactly whether we listen and hear what God tells us, what he wants us to do. In walking with God, you make progress. You change. Situations become better for you. When Enoch walked with God, he had notable signs of change, of progress. You cannot walk without moving. I mean, when I want to walk with God and I say, Lord, I want to walk with you, but I'm stuck and I'm sitting on the seat and I'm here. And God says, come and let's go. Yes, Lord, I want to walk with you. Every day I say, Lord, I want to walk with you. I want to do things with you. But it takes movement to move. You've got to get up and you've got to be willing to move with God. To do things that God wants you to do, to move where God wants you to go. There's got to be movement in your life. There's got to be movement in what you do for God. This is the most important thing we have to have. That we are on a move with God. And you cannot move without walking, without going where God wants you to do. Walking with God is a first step. A simple step to say, Lord, yes, I want to walk with you today. I want to do what you want me to do. You've got to take that first step. And this is so important for us to know. Because when Enoch walked with God, he had to take that first step. He had to do the first move wanting to walk with God. That means he has faith. He trusted that God would know the right thing for him to do. He has faith in the Lord. You know, look, God, I trust you with what I have. I trust you with what you're going to do in my life. But one day you started that journey and living according to God's lifestyle, things changed for Enoch. Enoch knew exactly where he was with God. Likewise, in our Christian life, we have to take the first step. We have to take the first step to move with God. Let God affect our lives at all. The nicest thing is I know about taking that first step. Parents and grandparents. When your child grows up and has been crawling for quite a while, and you can't wait when it stands up against the furniture and it holds up. What are we waiting for? That first step that the baby does. The first step that they do. The first step that they can walk. The first step. They rejoice. We excited. We were so excited with Mark and Tanya. And we're excited when we saw the first step of Nikki when they came from England. She was standing up on the first step. And we rejoiced. And we were so glad. Because that is the first step that was taken by the little one. You see, when we take the first step, it's a significant beginning of a child's life. The first step means when I've taken that first step, she's going to start walking and the other steps are going to follow. When you take your first step with God, there's going to be other steps that's going to follow. You're going to continue to walk and get excited to what God is doing in your life. You're going to feel the anointing and the power of God in your life. And when we take that first step, what happens? The angels in heaven rejoice. They're glad and there's rejoicing in heaven because we've taken that first step to walk with God. The first step, say, Lord, yes, I want to walk with you. I want to talk to you. I want to do the things that you want me to do. I need that first step to go. You see, that walk with God continues with a series of steps. The first step is not the final step, but that's the beginning of walking with God. It means successive steps and growing in that walk that you have. You will grow when you take your steps with God. Walking with God means to share intimacy with God. Enoch walked with God. And whenever you walk with someone, you should share your thoughts and your desires with him. I believe Enoch shared with God his problems, his situations, his circumstances. Spoke to God and he knew that God would do things for him. He knew that God would be there for him. Whenever you walk with someone, you share your thoughts with that person like you shared with God. You see, when you share with God, what does God do? He shares himself with you. God shares his life, his character. God shares what he wants to do with you. The beautiful thing that I like is, I mean, it irritates me sometimes, but it's been a couple I love. They share and they talk and they're so lovey-dovey and they chat and they talk. And sometimes when I walk in the malls and they hug one another and they irritate me. But then I had to stop and look at them and smile because I was just like that. I was also Lorraine and Lorraine this and Lorraine that. And lovey, lovey. I mean, when she was down in Durban on a course, we had about an hour to 3 hours chat on my phone. I mean, the bill was like that, but I didn't care about the bill. I spoke to Lorraine. And this is what it's all about. We can't build a relation. We can't build intimacy with one another if we don't talk to one another. With Monet and Kirsty, they've got to talk to one another and share so they can know who they are. They're going to know their strong points, their weak points. They're going to know what they're all about. I mean, I don't want to marry Lorraine and I don't know who she is. What the desires and what the likes and dislikes are. Think how boring life is going to be if you marry somebody you don't even know who they are. And this is the same with God. You've got to talk to him. You've got to share your thoughts with him. You've got to tell him who you are and what your problems are. You see, then you can understand what God is all about. You see, we must share our dreams, our hopes, our aspirations with God. We share our problems, our frustrations, our troubles, our disappointments with God. The big thing that happened on Friday with me, I was working, and I call it my week of ladder duty because I'm on the ladder up there and carry the ladder and all that. And, you know, I'm not so young anymore, so that gets me at sometimes. And I was working, and I went to the store, and I took stock, and I did my work, and used my cell phone, and got all my stuff ready, and I went to started to the building, and I was working, going on. And I thought, I need a tea break. So I put my stuff down, sat down, and I felt, where's my cell phone? My cell phone's gone. Lord, what am I doing now? And I started to talk to the Lord. Lord, this is going to be a problem. What is Lorraine going to say if I come home and I haven't got a cell phone? What am I going to do, Lord? I don't know where it is. And I went and I looked at the places where I was working, and I looked at sketch here, looked there, open, and then I couldn't find it. I said, Lord, now I've got a problem. Now I need advice. I don't know what to do. It just came to me. I believe the Lord spoke to me, where were you lost? And I went there, and I did that. I was in the store, and I took stock, and I used my cell phone. Maybe it's there. I put everything down, grew down to the store, opened the door, no cell phone. Lord, what now? But I'm sure I was here. Oh, maybe this one supervisor and the one lady, patients and Eunice, maybe one of them found it. Thank you, Lord. Close the door, walk all the way to the office. When I open the door, everybody were waiting for me. They said, what did you lose? I said, give me my cell phone. This is the way we talk to God. There, He wants to know your heartaches. He wants to know your situation. He wants to know your circumstances. Because the more I share with God, I become intimate with God. I become trusting Him and putting my faith and my hope in Him, putting everything that I have in Him. And then He starts to share with me. He starts to speak into my life. He starts to show me the way that He wants me to go. That we become intimate with one another. That I know, God, You're there for me. How many times do I feel alone? And I feel God is 10,000 miles away from me. But He's next to me. He's in my heart. And this is the most important thing that we have to realize. That we want God to do. Walking with God means to know that we will get to our destination. There's a destination set up for us. The Bible speaks of Enoch's destination, and he was not. Hebrews 7:5 says, by faith Enoch was taken away, so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had his testimony that he pleased God. What testimony do you and I leave behind? What testimony are we going to build that when we one day pass away and we've reached our destiny? Who's Frank? I don't know. He was just another guy. But yes, we know him. He was a man of God. He did that. His life was effective. The biggest thing that we have to have is we always think of when Jesus comes and I'm going to be in heaven. That's important. That's not the important thing. It's what my destiny is on earth. What I make in my life in this earth. There's a testimony that I can build up in this earth for the kingdom of God. This is where it all starts. This is where my destiny is going to end and achieve what I've got to achieve for God here on earth in my lifetime. How many years did Enoch live? 370 years? He had a long time to do what was right, a long time to do. How long have we got? I thought to myself, Lord, maybe I've got another 5 years, or another 10 years. So for me to decide, God, I want to walk with you. I want to talk with you. I want to be with you where you want me to go. And we've got to drive and we've got to push for what we want to do in God, for God. And Paul wrote in Philippians 4:13-14, is I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Notwithstanding you have done well, but did communicate with my affliction. Maybe I've got the wrong scripture now. I missed it. Never mind. So God causes you and me to reach our destination. What Paul wrote is, I'm pushing forward to the high calling in Christ Jesus. He's pushing forward. He's moving forward. He's fighting forward. He's stretching out for those things that God has prepared for him. He's stretching out to know what God has got in store for him. It's for us to stretch forth and say, Lord, yes, I want that which you have got in store for me. I don't want to land up in heaven one day and walk and see these big stores, big buildings. And I say, what's there, Lord? He says, no, I don't want to tell you about that. I say, what is there, Lord? Please, I want to know. He says, let me tell you, let me take you there. And he opens these doors. And there are parcels from the ceiling to the top to the ceiling. I say, what are those, Lord? He says, these are all your blessings that you could have had, but you didn't claim them, you didn't take them. Because my word is full of promises that I have in store for you. If we walk with God, he's got the promises and the gifts and the things that we have that we are in need of. But we're so keen to rely upon ourselves. We're so keen to talk to other people about our situation. But we first say, we should say, God, I've got this problem. Please help. I had this problem being at work. Suddenly I realized my time is up. I've got to go on pension. But I've got no little bit of my pension scheme is almost nothing. What now? And I started getting all worked up. But then I started to talk, Lord, I need a miracle. I need you to intervene. And I went to the office one day to talk about this new pension thing with the tax thing and all that. And they said to me, why don't you just apply and stay on? I said, but I didn't know Steiner does that. And so I said, okay, we will send your application to head office. And that was on the Friday. The Tuesday, I got a call from my GM. Frank, I want to see you after a meeting. And she said, man, look, you are worth to us as gold. All the customers are happy. Your clients are happy. You just stay on like normal. You get the benefits. You get everything. And I thank God for that. But we have to trust God that he will open the doors. He opens doors where men cannot open the doors. He can do the work of God, of miracles that we cannot do. But we have to put our faith and trust in God. But we're so keen to brood over what we've got, our problems and our situation. We love to worry about things. And God wants two different warriors. He wants the warrior that fights, the warrior that stands for God, not the warrior that walks with all his problems and the situations and circumstances. God wants you and me to move forward for what he wants to do. God needs us to be effective for his kingdom. And we look at 2 Kings. It's just something that caught me when I thought about it. In 2 Kings chapter, chapter 2, let's go to number 2 Kings. And I'm taking 5 pages instead of 1. It's about Elijah being taken up in heaven. We know that the whirlwind and we know the whole story. But there's one thing that caught me. There's a guy named Elisha. And he wanted what, and he was going to be the guy that follows Elijah. So Elisha was ready and Elisha wanted to do things. And in 2 verse 2, and Elijah said to Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said to him, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave. So they went down to Bethel. In 2 verse 4, and Elijah said to him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. He said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. In 2 verse 6, and Elijah said to him, tarry, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as my soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And the two went on. In 2 verse 9, and it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said to Elisha, ask, what shall I do for thee? And he said, I'll take away from thee. Elisha said, I pray thee, let the double portion of my spirit be upon me. What am I trying to say? Here's a guy that knew he wanted something. He knew that he wanted the double portion of Elijah's anointing. He was committed to get what he wanted. God wants us to be committed to walking with him. And I can easily say to you a 7 plan. This is how you walk with God. I can't. Because if I have to give you a plan, a 7-side plan, then I limit God. I limit his abilities. Because God works different with each one of us. We are different people. We've got different characters. God made us like He made us. What He wants us to do is in the morning when I wake up, I say, Lord, this is my walk with You today. Today I want to walk with You. Lead me, show me, guide me with Your Spirit. I commit myself to Your walk. I commit myself to go where You want me to go. And the next day you say, Lord, here I am today. I'm committed to You. I want to walk with You. Show me the way. Show me what You want me to do. And this is the walk that we have to walk. I don't know where you are. I don't know if you're ahead of God, or you're behind Him, or you're with Him, or you feel completely frustrated with your circumstances. But this morning the Lord is saying to you, I can walk with you. I need you to walk with me. I want you to walk with me. I want to be intimate with you. I want to share with you the things that you want to know. I want you to fulfill your destiny that you have upon this earth, that I have put you in. I want to fulfill your purpose and your call that I put in your life. So many of us look at ourselves. I look at myself. You know, Lord, I'm 65. The Bible says 70. And I joke, I say, I'm 75. I need 5 years, Lord. And I think, I'm old. I cannot do it anymore. But we can. God is not caught up by time. He might have in store for me another 20 years. I don't know. But the most important thing in your life and my life is we've got to walk with God. We've got to say, Lord, this is my day committed to You. Show me, lead me, guide me, speak to me. That every day I may walk with You. And every day will be a day of victory. There'll be growth, there'll be strength. And I will conquer for Christ. And I will conquer for the kingdom. So you know your heart. You know where you are with God. And I can say, come and stand here and pray, but I don't want to do that. Because it's you and God. It's how you feel, where you are. I know myself. I've got to go and say, Lord, yes. I want to walk with You. I want to have Your fullness in my life. I want to have the depth of what I need. I've made mistakes, I've made boo-boos, I've paid the prices. But there's a day that you can take that first step. I don't want to step down here. First step. I say, Lord, this is the day that I'm going to commit myself to You. That Your will and Your purpose may be done in my life. That I may be effective in Your kingdom. Doesn't matter what I'm doing. You know, sometimes we think we've got to be big things for God. But just open up a door for somebody. Open up the church's door, standing in front there, welcoming people. No matter what, God will show you, because He will say to you one day when you stand before Him, my good and faithful servant, you've been faithful of a little, and I will make you ruler over many. That you have fulfilled your purpose and plan that God has for you. He has a purpose and a plan for you and for me. But it's our responsibility to know, God, what is the purpose and the plan You have in my life? That you may become the one at the end of the line, that them say yes, they have fulfilled what God wants them to do. Amen.